This is Getting Past Subtitles. My name is Sean Peel.
And I'm DK Lee.
And welcome to Monsters again.
Yes.
This time, we are talking about the one true monster.
The original.
Not really. I mean, there were monsters before him.
Well, yeah.
But this is Japan's original monster. And this is, and then he claims all other monsters out there. He's like, you know, King Kong, eat my tail.
He's more, King Kong's more of a big ape.
he's not so much monster versus just a giant animal.
He's very identifiable, right. Whereas Godzilla is kind of mutant of something.
He's a dinosaur lizard thing.
That lives in the water.
That lives in the water. But he can breathe air.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah. Like an iguana. We are talking about Godzilla. Next episode, we'll be talking about Godzilla. I'm excited for this. Anybody that knows me personally knows that I have a problem, that I think my household just has a Godzilla problem.
Mm.
You've been to my place.
Yeah, it's all destroyed. There's no more.
Yeah,
we have Godzilla stepped on it.
We do the carpentry. We we remake our
every week.
Every
he
week
just remakes his house.
Yeah. Saturday at noon, without fail,
he comes back.
He comes back. This is basically, you know, me and Tokyo. We got the same issues.
Uh-huh.
You know, he always goes after Tokyo. Tokyo is like, bro. Bro, we've remade the Tokyo Bay like 30-50 times.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. But yes, we are talking about the original Godzilla film that came out in 1954 from Japan, by Toho Pictures, directed by Ishiro Honda. I mean, funny enough, as much as I loved Godzilla, and as much as like I'm a fan of it and we own all this merch, I've never seen the original Godzilla. This was my first foray into it.
Wow.
I know, right? Sacrilegious words coming out of my mouth. Who are you even? Can you call yourself a fan?
For a Godzilla fan.
Can you call yourself a fan? So I don't know. I wasn't sure, like, expectation wise going into it. I thought like, I enjoyed a few of the older Godzilla films. Like, I mainly watched some of the other ones, the little later ones, like Godzilla versus Mothra, Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla. Just like pretty much the, once it became like the Godzilla verse,
yeah,
you know, all those things. But those, Godzilla Seisha, really good one. But those, like, are more campy. They're a little more like, you know, fun, sort of like Hollywoody, right? They are definitely more of like the, once it became like a genre movie.
Right.
And so going into this, that's kind of like all I knew. So I guess I kind of expected that coming from this movie, like a little bit of campiness to it. But I was definitely surprised to be like, that wasn't at all what kind of came out of this. There's a little bit of it more, but more because like of the times, right? Like it's a man in a suit, like there's miniatures.
Miniature, you can obviously tell that it's a miniature.
Right, right.
And all the jank that comes from that, but...
Yeah. But, like, the tone of the movie and, like, just, like, how it's being portrayed, like, it's actually really, like, pretty dark, kind of gloomy.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, like he mentioned, the idea that I had of, like, Godzilla, I haven't really watched any Godzilla movies. I've talked to him beforehand too about it, but like a lot of times when I imagine Godzilla, it was in that like genre of like the monster genre and the very campy, almost like it's just like playing on the fact that, you know, it's this big monster and just like that kind of vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, like I was very pleasantly surprised actually by the tone and the groundedness of the movie. Like,
sure.
Like, it's not, like, obviously you can tell that, like, it's not real, right? I'm not saying grounded in the sense of, like, the visual effects or the way that, you know, the monster is necessarily like portrayed in terms of like, you know, what it is, but like just the story itself is very grounded, and the way that they act and the way that they are portraying everything is very like in the real like sense, like things are really happening to this Japan and to this Tokyo and to these people, and they're dying, and it's not like played in a lighthearted way. It's really like, oh man, these people are dying, like what are we gonna do with this big ass monster that's like rampaging our country. And so like having that, I really enjoyed in the movie, whereas like my initial like thoughts and ideas of the movie felt like it was going to be, you know, like this is a very like, I know it's very like far-fetched, but like, you know, like whenever you watch like Power Rangers the end, they have that huge battle and like the Power Ranger gets big and the bad guy gets big.
They're like, guys, they combine into their mega
robot. Right, right. Yeah, I was picturing something like that. You know what I mean? Like that kind of like campiness and just like unbelievable kind of like nonsense kind of thing just for the fun of it kind of thing.
That's saved for 20 years later when humankind makes Mechagodzilla. Exactly. But we're not there yet.
And so like that kind of idea was in my mind, but like watching this very first Godzilla movie, it really gave me like, oh, like an appreciation for a movie with monsters that felt more like it's part of like something that could happen in the world.
Yeah. You could easily replace Godzilla with like, I don't know, like the world's biggest like hurricane.
Right. You know? Or even like, you know, like Jaws. Like in one sense it's kind of like this monster that's unknown that they're trying to figure out what it is and the reveal happened. It's very
similar.
And that kind of simple but effective play and the tug of like the humans like fears and you know, like those kinds of things is very like
the hysteria
prevalent in this movie, and I enjoyed that a lot.
Me as well. I mean, it's a very like, I mean, the more you go into it, like it's a very thematic movie, like it's really brought out of, you know, like
the World War.
Well, I mean specifically like just atomic bombs and like hydrogen bombs and Japan's response to, you know, Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And, like, obviously, I mean, in this time, because that was 45, this is, like, 54. Like, in this time, a lot of countries are testing out more nuclear weapons, mainly hydrogen bombs. And they're doing a lot of testing in, like, the Pacific Ocean, which is, in, like, closer to Japan's region. So a lot of the fear of, like, a nuclear holocaust, essentially. And, like, this movie kind of is basically, like, a response to that thematically.
Right.
And it does a great job of doing that. Like, I mean, Godzilla is kind of literally a nuclear level threat, you know? He's born out of
testing.
Hydrogen bomb testing. It's like they just literally bomb his habitat in the ocean, and he's like, you know what? Fuck you guys. And it comes out of the ocean.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little on the nose, right? Like they really kind of push that message of like, oh, like these hydrogen bombs were like what created
this nuclear Godzilla mutant
and like there's nothing that can stop it kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's like what was interesting is, I think I had like a little footnote, but kind of I think it was a director or the I think it was the director's words, but he was basically saying like, you know, if he's born out of like nuclear weapons and like he's kind of indestructible, it's like, well, just creating a monster that is sort of immune to nuclear weapons. And it's like, well, how do you fight against that, basically, right? Like, it's just a direct kind of retaliation against humankind, right? Mm. It's a very, like, typical, like, almost nature versus humankind kind of film, right?
Right.
And so it's just like...
Or the corruption of nature.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, all right, here's the environment coming back at you, you know, this creature monster. But he's kind of a badass in this movie. I think I was more surprised to be like, how much he destroys. There's like one particular shot where he's okay, it's like the mid rampage of he like finally gets in like to Tokyo and like the city part, and there's like this one shot of like a street corner and there's like 30 citizens like running along and they see him and they're like, ah, and he like blows his like fire mist thing and it just like murks like 30 people right then and there.
I was surprised by Godzilla's powers. I didn't know that he had like the breath thing.
The fire breath?
Yeah, so at first, I, you know, when he uses it on the electric barrier or whatever, I thought it was like freezing.
Yeah, okay. This is all right. It was hilarious. Right? I was watching it and I thought, because it's like mist coming out of it. It's not even like real fire. Yeah. And I, you see like the power lines and it like turns like white and it looks like it's freezing it.
Yeah.
But then like a shot or two later, like it bends and melts and you're like, oh.
And then everything after that is like fire.
So
I was like, oh, wow, he has a lot of powers. But I kind of assumed that it was all fire. But
yeah.
But just I didn't realize that he had fire breath.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
That's his like signature.
Yeah. He's a fire I guess I've seen it before, but I just never really like put two and two together in this movie.
I was more surprised at like, because he breathes fire, but his tail glows. And that's how like he's like, basically, I think like the lore is like, because he's literally like a walking nuclear power plant, essentially. Right. So he's like creating like, he can breathe fire because of like
the nuclear or whatever.
Yeah, the waste that's in him or whatever. The nuclear fission in his body. But that's why his tail glows when he does it.
Like the back, the spine and whatever.
But I thought that was like a later idea, like as the movies kind of kept along and like they kind of like reformed Godzilla. They were like, oh, we can like make his thing glow. But I didn't know that that was an original idea. So I was pleasantly surprised to be like, oh, his tail glows since like day one. Like, okay, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. I was, you know, like for monster movies, you're always kind of wondering when you're watching it, like, when is the monster going to show up? Like, when's the big reveal?
Yeah.
And for this movie, like, you know, we talked about the host as well and just how he implemented the reveal for the monster. And it was very much more of a, he's already there. Like, not very, not like Jaws where like you're kind of, you know, waiting and the suspense is there.
Yeah.
For this one, I think that there is definitely more of the suspense, right?
Sure. Yeah.
We take a bit longer to really see his face. But I was surprised that we like just see him just chilling over the hill. Like he's just there and everyone's like, Godzilla's there.
It's like in broad daylight.
Yeah, in broad daylight. Yeah. And I was kind of surprised by that, but kind of I like the shot of it though. Like how they use the hill as a reference to how big Godzilla is.
Yep.
And I think that was a really good way of like revealing him and just showing just how big he is and the massive, you know, impact that he has.
Yeah. Without like straight up showing his scale.
Right. Without showing his whole body, you just show his head.
And that was like, because it's like half and half, right? Because it's not like full Jaws where you don't see the shark completely till, you know, the end or whatever. Because we see his face and we see parts of his body pretty early on in that scene. And like more and more, you see more of him. But I think like, it's more of a suspense reveal of like the scale of Godzilla and like his destructive power, right?
Because
it's not until that Tokyo like destruction scene that we see like
all of it.
Yeah, you know, it's like here's like a bits and pieces of him. Like you see his head over the mountain, and like you get the terror. But it's not until then that's like, oh shit,
yeah,
that guy's big. So I think it worked well. I think it worked pretty good in that sense too. And it's I really like too like. Because there are even, like, cutaway shots of, like, just his feet or, like, just his tail, right?
Yeah.
Like, they kind of give you, like, little teases of him, but never really completely, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, how did you kind of just enjoy the movie overall? What did you... I'll make this point. The one thing that I really like about Godzilla in general is... I think this is kind of a through line with most of the movies, a little less later when it becomes a little more gimmicky and like monster versus monster sort of deal. But I really like Godzilla because they've always been about like the human perspective. Like here it's Godzilla's like a second thought to the overall movie, right? Like it's really about like the citizens and like, you know, how
it's like just an obstacle, right? Where the humans have to overcome. And
he's like, Godzilla is really like just a disaster, right? Mm. Like he's like part of the plot. Like he's not really a character per se in the movie. Right,
just like a tsunami or like an earthquake that happened to the people. And
that sort of like theme or like structure kind of stays relevant through most of the movies, surprisingly. And so I like that like kind of is sort of the DNA of Godzilla movies. Mm. And once we talk about the next movie, that's a really big point as well. So it was kind of cool to kind of like already draw like points and like thoughts between them, like how it's sort of structured, where it's like you could like easily glorify Godzilla in these movies, right? Like,
yeah, I think that happens a lot in like monster movies, right? Like, because of the fact that usually the monster movie is named like whatever, like Godzilla or like King Kong, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a kind of, I wouldn't say glorification, but like a highlighting or like a, you know, you're like putting it on the pedestal, right? And and being like, ta-da, look at my monster, look at how cool it is, or like how fierce or menacing it is. And I think, like you said, like you mentioned in this movie, it's not that it's a side character, it's not relegated to like, oh, it's just whatever, but it's treated as something that's more of, like you said, like a natural disaster, or like something that the people have to overcome, and it becomes more of a human movie, right? Rather than the monster movie.
Right.
And yeah, I did enjoy that. And seeing how the different characters have conflicting views and conflicting thoughts about what to do with Godzilla as well, and how to deal with it or how not to deal with it, right?
It's always been like, there's always like political undertones in the movie, right?
Right.
And like, I think that's a big part, because a lot of it is like, it's a drama in that sense. Like there's multiple parties, because it's like a huge disaster, right? And it affects everybody. But then when it comes to solving that issue, everybody has their own like solutions or opinions on the matter. And seeing that dichotomy between different parties, like that's what kind of creates the drama in the movie.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like you have like the old man who's Ikiru, by the way. I was pleasantly surprised to see him in the movie.
Takeshi Shimura.
Yeah. Let's go, Shimura. He's like he's a scientist, right? He's like the paleontologist, and he's like Godzilla lover kind of. Yeah. You know, he's like, I don't want to see him die. Like,
right. He wants to, you know more about the monster, right?
Right. And you know, and then there's other party that's like, nah, he's a threat. Like, you know,
kill him.
Kill him.
Look at all the people that are dying, you know?
What was really interesting was having both Shimura's character, who's sort of like, you know, the researcher and the scientist, but then you have like there's another doctor in this movie as well,
who's Serizawa,
but he's like the not like evil doctor, but like he creates like the weapon. He's like Eisenhower, right?
Right.
Or not Eisenhower, but whoever created the nuclear bomb, I forget.
Oh.
Yeah. You know,
Einstein.
No. I forget.
Oh. What's his name?
Yeah.
Heisenberg.
Right. Heisenberg, yeah. I was close. But like that kind of character, like he creates like the ultimate destruction weapon. He's like, I know what I created for science, but obviously in the wrong hands, like it can be used as a weapon in that sense. And so it's interesting to have like both the science characters in this movie. And then you have like the child and like the one that the pure characters, right?
Yeah. And then you have the daughter. You were talking about the daughter?
Yeah.
Yeah. The daughter and the fiance or whatever.
Ogata. Is he the fiance? Well, he's
technically not the fiance. He's like the lover.
Yeah.
Serizawa was technically supposed to be the fiance.
Right.
But then he basically is like, you guys love each other, so you guys, and I'm going to go and die.
That is an element that like way blew over my head. I was like way too concerned with the Godzilla issue, and then like the Emiko is her name.
The
love triangle with Emiko. It was like, oh wait, Serizawa was a love interest? ? Okay,
yeah,
whatever. Yeah, then he has to go and like sacrifice himself. But yeah, I mean, all that, all that, like, that political aspect really kind of interests me the most.
Yeah. I was just, like, finding it kind of almost ironic that, like, they create a worse weapon to defeat the weapon.
Yep.
Or to defeat Godzilla, you know? Like, it's just, like, a bigger, stronger weapon to destroy the big thing.
By the end of the movie, I didn't even expect Godzilla to die in this movie. And two, I didn't expect it to even end the way it ended. Like, right. It felt pretty abrupt, kind of.
Yeah, but it's kind of like that for every movie that's, like, around this time. Sure, you know, like, sure. They ended quite, like...
Straightforward.
Right. There's no lingering.
Yeah, it's like 90 minutes to the dot, and then, yeah. You know, solved and done. But yeah, like, that last act, like, they go into the ocean, they're gonna set off the oxygen destroyer, it's called.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, then it's funny, like, the two love guys go in together, obviously.
Yeah.
And like, he's like, no, you can't go, you're inexperienced in the ocean or whatever. And he's like, as a diver, he's like, no. And then they're like, we'll go together. And yeah. They go in. But, like, that whole sequence underwater, I was like, what the fuck are they doing under the water? Like.
Yeah, and I also found it funny how, like... How Godzilla did nothing.
Exactly.
All right, just come kill me. You know, like,
he was, like, sleeping, and he was like, "Oh, humans in near me," but then, like, Serizawa and Ogata were just, like, fucking around in the ocean, like just drop the thing and then being hoisted back up. But no, they were like,
"Yeah."
In the ocean. I'm like, "What are you doing right
and
now?"
I just, like, did he have to die?
Yeah, exactly. No, seriously. I was like, because it wasn't even made clear whether it'd be, like, there was no, like, motivation or, like, intention, right? Like,
yeah.
Did you need to put the capsule, like, on Godzilla's foot or something, you know? Like, you just made it seem like we got to drop it in the ocean and then we get out of there.
Yeah, the thing about this, like, I think it's just kind of a plot thing where... Plot convenience, I would say.
Right.
Where the weapon thing that he creates, the oxygen destroyer, it's like when he first uses it on the fish.
Yeah.
Like he used it in a different way. Like it didn't look like he used the whole like contraption. No. Yeah.
It's just like a pendant, a little almost.
Yeah. Yeah. And then later on at the end we see this big ass thing and it opens up and
big monster, big.
I guess so. Bomb, I guess know? Like it's dependent on scale. But yeah, it was kind of interesting to see.
Yeah.
Just how like it's just whatever they need for the story to work.
I just don't think like Serizawa didn't need to die, you know?
Yeah, I kind of like... feel that way too. I'm like, I think he just wanted to die because they're gonna be together now.
I'd rather die than put up with that shit, you know?
Yeah.
I'd rather die.
I don't want to have to talk to the father about all this, you know, and make a big deal out of it.
I could be remembered as a hero.
Right.
Or not the love guy.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna take my win here.
Yep.
But that what like baffles me even more about the whole thing was like you definitely just sacrificed the entire ocean to kill Godzilla.
That's the other thing, right? It's like how far is the effect of the oxygen destroyer?
Because I could have sworn, like, he was like, all right, because it goes, because Emiko goes into Serizawa's lab, like, in the beginning, and then there's, like, a, like, she figures something out, and then, like, we don't know about it, but then when she talks to Ogata, like, I have a solution, and I have to break my promise, then we go back, it's like a flashback of seeing what happens, and we get Serizawa to explain, like, the oxygen destroyer and like how it works, and he's definitely like, he's like, just one of these small things can destroy every organism in the Tokyo Bay, but it's like, and then you pull out a big ass one for Godzilla, so like
you kill the whole ocean,
yeah, the entire Pacific Ocean is gone, right? Is that not the science here?
Yeah, there's a lot of funny things like that. I also think that the acting part for when she's like was way overdone. Like she like covered her, you know, when I first saw it, I thought she got blinded or something, you know, like her eyes died or something, because you know the other dude, he has an eye patch. So I'm like, oh, so shoot, like, she has eye loss too now.
Whatever experiment that is too extreme,
you know, like is it really, I mean, like it is kind of crazy that the fish like disintegrate, but do you usually go like this when you see something like
it definitely wasn't that shocking.
You probably go like, ah.
And I was just like, oh my God, the fish! Yeah. They disappeared!
It's not like grotesque.
It really isn't, though. Right?
It just, they just kind of disappear. So I was like, huh, interesting.
Yeah, they literally disintegrate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, like, that whole scene, like, also went over my head because, like, honestly, all of it kind of went over my head because it's like, I don't know what they're doing in this laboratory thing.
Right.
And then the fact that it's, like, an unfinished clause. And then I was like, she saw something shocking. I don't know what that is. And then it just, like, moves on to something else. Mm. And then we go back afterwards and I'm like, oh, that's what that whole thing was about? Mm. It just kind of felt like a weird, like, piece of a puzzle that just didn't really belong, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that was probably their intention, right?
I guess, yeah.
To show it later, which is why they kind of cut it short. Right.
It just, the execution didn't really work for me, but... Yeah. I see what they wanted to do. I just didn't pan out the way that happened. Yeah. So it is what it is. But yeah, I don't know. And then Godzilla just dies, and I'm like, ah, rip.
Yeah. What do you think about like the sequence of when like Godzilla comes to Tokyo and like starts destroying everything, and just like how it was shot and the way, like seeing it.
It's pretty raw. I do like that it's really portrayed in like a really like grotesque kind of way almost. Like you watch it, or like I watch it, and I'm like, damn, like he's really fucking up Tokyo right now, you know? Mm. And the even just like the people's response and seeing kind of the just like the craziness and like everybody's like fleeing and kind of like all the sounds, they all kind of really, I think, just do a good job of like the disaster element of it, you know? Right. I think like the one thing that I really thought while watching this movie, I was like, man, people are like truly creative, because this is like really done well for 1954, you know?
Yeah.
There are some like funny shots with Godzilla, like his eyes are like not menacing at all. Mm-hmm. There are some shots that he looks weird, but there are some angles that look really good. But I just think they really did a good job of, even shot-wise, of portraying, like, when to pull back. I think my favorite ones are, like, they're, like, extreme wide shots. They're, like, almost establishing shots. And, like, you see, like, the destruction of the city, and there's, like, the flame in the background, and then there's, like, a silhouette of Godzilla, like, on the flames, you know?
Yeah.
Like, those are, like, there's, like, two or three of those, and those look really good.
Yeah, I like one of those shots where... it's like a wide, like you said, and it's Godzilla like breathing fire, but like his, you can see the silhouette because of the back, his spine is like lit up.
Yeah, right.
With the fire thing.
Yeah.
And it's like a really nice, like, just like this big, you can't really tell like what it is, right? It's a weird shape. It obviously is a monster, but like just like seeing that like image of it, like just destroying the whole city or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about, like, there are some sequences in there that he's just, like, rampaging, and then he comes across to something, and it's, like, animal curiosity. Like, he comes across the bridge, and he's, like, flips over and, like, tosses it. Yeah. And, like, I do think, like, when he goes to the television tower is pretty funny.
Right, and right. I like that guy.
He's like, oh, no, he's coming towards us. Sayonara. He's going to sayonara. It's been a good run. Mina-san, sayonara. And then just get... fucked. And then they just like straight get smashed.
Yeah, like some of the shots of, like, for example, like the train smashes into him, and he like picks it up, like you can obviously tell that it's like a miniature like train or whatever. But like I still like the intention and the idea, and I liked how they incorporate the people with the miniature to make it seem very seamless.
Yeah, yeah.
And creating that, like, feeling of, like, it really is like a town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of the composition stuff is done pretty well.
Yeah, like, compositionally, I really liked a lot of shots in the movie.
Yeah. I think my favorite of the sequences is actually when the fighter jets come in.
Mm.
And he's, like, in the middle of the bay, and... the Air Force comes in, and like the fighter jets come in, and they're just like shooting missiles at him.
Yeah,
I think that was done extremely well.
Mm.
I was actually thoroughly impressed by that.
That's good. Yeah,
and Godzilla's just like, it's like trying to swat him like flies.
It's like always there's always a sequence like that in monster movies or whatever.
Planes the versus planes monster. Come, yeah.
The jets. Let's go.
Like, we got it, boys. And he just like sticks out a finger.
Like, you can tell though that like because of the restraints of the time, like they really couldn't go any closer for the planes. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
I'm imagining this like in like current era, like if people were to make a movie like this, there's definitely a hero or like a main character who's like the jet,
exactly, you know, who's the
fighter.
You always have like multiple like characters, like, and there's like that soldier, like
the ensemble, the pilot. Right?
Yeah.
You have the pilot, you have the scientist, you have the love interest or whatever. Uh-huh. You have all that.
You have the general.
Exactly. You have the general, and you have the civilian.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But in this movie, I'm guessing the limitations, because even the planes, you never really see them up close.
Exactly. Right.
Like, because of that, like, you know, you don't have that.
Oh, yeah.
100% if it was made. I bet in the Godzilla movie we're going to watch later, if there's a plane thing.
Hey, you don't know.
There's definitely something like that.
It's totally not true. It's totally not true at all.
But yeah, I did think adding that fighter plane sequence was...
It's pretty good.
It's good.
The missiles are pretty cool. However they did that, I think it worked pretty well.
Yeah.
It's funny. I think, you know, overall... it's just crazy to see how much, even foundation wise, like, because the monster movies, like as we were joking, they can be like formulaic in that way. I mean, like, they definitely are. But then, like, seeing this movie, like, for it to be the first one, you're like, wow, like a lot of the formula is in here already, and being like, this is where it stems from.
Right.
It's funny to kind of get a whiff of that in it for the future, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, there is a kind of ensemble cast of this in a way, right? Like, there's every character has like a different like career type.
Right. Well, that's kind of reason why this kind of genre exploded, right? Like, there's a reason why genres exist, and I think it's a testament of like the fact that this thing works, right?
Yeah.
Like, this formula works. That's what a genre basically is, right?
Yeah.
And you know, every time you know. Make something within the genre, you're kind of pushing it more forward, and you're building that language that people like automatically understand, even if it's not like overtly, even if it's not with their heads, they kind of feel it and they understand it just like naturally from the accumulation of all the genre movies that they've watched. And yeah, like seeing that this is one of the first like monster movies and having all those elements, like you can now, like looking back, like you see why it did so well, like why the genre is doing so well, or it has been, you know, doing so well throughout.
Mm. It's just like, it's repeated watch.
Like even watching like The Host, right?
Yeah.
Like there's obviously all those elements as well, like different characters. Although it is a little bit different, because I think that Bong Joon-ho kind of wanted to subvert expectations, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why he created like even the reveal of the monster really quick and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, that's the fun of now, right? Like, of having a very foundation. Having already the foundation of a genre, and now like having directors and having, you know, filmmakers who understand that genre and is able to break away from it or create a twist within that to create something new. And I think that's the beauty of like having a genre and being able to understand it and work within it, but also like create new things within that that's foundation.
That's how we evolve stories.
Yeah.
No, but 100% true. I'm kind of a... I mean, that makes me excited to see what you think about Shin Godzilla for the next one.
Right, yeah. I'm kind of excited to watch it as well, just because, you know, seeing... Because it is the last of the Japanese-made ones, right?
Right.
And just seeing, like... Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously. I'm sure they'll make, like, 100 more. But just seeing, like, the evolution of it, right? Like, the how far they've come, especially, like, obviously with CGI, but also just what new things can they do, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What different things can they do with it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100% agree. I think I'm would be on the other side of that as well. Just being just like drawing, whereas like you're drawing differences, I'm very interested to draw comparisons to this
similarities.
As well. Yeah.
So, you've already watched it though, right?
A few times.
Yeah,
I really like that movie. I feel like I don't know, the perception of Shin Godzilla. I think most people are like about it, and I'm like, but I like it a lot.
Yeah, you typically like bad movies.
Shut up. Shut up, bro. Nobody asked you for your opinion. I didn't ask anybody for their opinion. You're all wrong. I live in my world where I'm right. That's how this works. Any other scenes that really kind of stuck out for you?
Like the first time, like the beginning intro scene of like the boat and like it just kind of like the water like bubbling up.
Yeah.
And stuff was kind of,
I was like, Iron Giant?
Weird for me. Because I didn't really realize, like I didn't really like understand what, like, because you know, you go into the movie, you already know like how it looks, right? And what it is.
Yeah.
So I was like, in the beginning, I was like, what did it do? Like, did it just like, why is it bubbling up? And like,
to the boat?
Did it kill, like, how does it attack it or whatever?
Yeah.
I was kind of confused at that in the beginning. I was like, what is it doing?
I kind of was too.
Exactly.
I mean, like, going back, I realized, I mean, it here's the thing. I didn't know, I was like flawed. I was floored when I saw Godzilla like blue mist instead of like fire. Yeah. But like you see the mist in this, and if you go back, like the mist, like where the fire like destroys the thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It might also just be the, the limited capabilities,
exactly.
And also the black and white. I think black and white also kind of makes a lot of things more interpretive.
Yeah.
Because you're not fully like sure if this is, like we said, like ice or fire or whatever.
Right.
You're not sure of certain things sometimes when you're watching it. But I did like, I know it wasn't intentional because they don't, you know, they, I don't think they had black, they had color back then, but just, maybe they did, but it was still.
I think they did actually.
Yeah, they did, but yeah. I don't think they.
Probably expensive.
Yeah, it wasn't as developed then, right. So they probably didn't shoot it in color then.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I did like the fact that it was in black and white.
Right.
I think it helped also with masking the imperfections or the fact that it's not real.
Suit guy.
Yeah, you know, the fact that it helped with that, I think.
Right.
The fact that it was in black and white, and just using a lot of the silhouettes and stuff like that to kind of mask those things helped a lot for adding to the movie and the monster.
Because I think, like, I mean, just even just for like the Tokyo scene alone, I think that scene just works being in black and white.
Mm.
Like between like all the mayhem that he's doing, like it just kind of really. Like,
I'm trying to imagine it in color, and I feel like it would not be as like visceral.
Yeah, it would almost be the same because like it takes place at night anyway. You know?
No, so, like, but like seeing. Like the color and also like,
right?
Because color makes things more, like obvious, right? Like things are more like, you know,
right,
more real in one sense.
Mm-hmm.
And like seeing a man in a suit,
clearly
would be detrimental, I think, to
yeah,
you know what I mean,
right?
The movie,
even like probably just like scale wise, right? Because like. All of it's miniature, and like you have this guy in a suit.
So those kind of things, like if it was in color, it would be a lot more easier to tell.
Yeah.
Oh, like this is clearly small. Like,
yeah.
Well, it may not even be like look small because of the, you know, how they shot it, but just the texture of the wood and the building, like things there, it's not made of the same material. So obviously you can tell that easier when it's in color.
Yeah.
Right.
It won't look like location.
Right. Yeah. Like, you think about like how far we've come with miniatures, like just even just watching like Lord of the Rings and how they did miniatures.
Yeah.
And you're like, damn, like
pretty wild.
It's they've come a long way, right? In terms of creating that, because you can definitely tell a lot of the houses and stuff look
sure,
even the train, you know what I mean? It's like
yeah.
It doesn't look real, right?
There's one that's like super. It's funny because like I was watching it in awe and like, man, this is kind of impressive. And then there's a shot with the guy that's driving like their emergency truck or whatever, and it's like clearly like miniature or stop motion of the car like tumbling and stuff, and it's like the composite shot between like the projector and him.
Yeah.
And then that thing happens, I go, never mind.
No, but there are definitely like a lot of great shots, right? Like with utilizing miniatures. And I don't wanna like completely bash on it, because sure, I think that it was very innovative and they really utilized it really well. And that, and that's why that's why I'm saying the black and white worked really well, you know?
Yeah, yeah. To mask everything.
Yeah.
Originally, so like I've got a bunch of stuff here, but originally, I think the special effects supervisor wanted to do pretty much everything in stop motion instead of using a suit and miniatures, but it was just too expensive of a foray to commit to. Plus, like, it was too expensive, and stop motion just wasn't as developed as it was today. It just wasn't as far as the time.
Right.
It says something like, with the budget and, like, the amount they would do, like, 7 years worth of work.
It's a stop motion is a crazy amount of work.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's just so much work of, like, moving little things little by little.
Exactly. Oh. There is, like, one stop motion shot, which is when his tail destroys the theater. Mm. You remember that? That's stop motion, and then I think that's pretty much it. So
yeah,
but yeah, I mean, like going back to the boat scene. So how? I mean, I could kind of tell. So Godzilla, the story of like Godzilla, basically, Toho was in production and had a deal to make another movie with producer Tomoyuki Tanaka, and he was gonna lead a collaboration production between Japan and Indonesia at the time, in the same year of 1954. But due to like some anti-Semitic, like anti-Japanese, just like ideals and stuff from Indonesia, it ultimately fell through. And so Tanaka conceived of a whole new idea on his way back to Japan, which was like a monster movie essentially. And so that movie from Indonesia was supposed to be in color, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it was in the same time. But like just with scrap, and I guess just like, man, I need to do something else. Came up with doing a monster movie, and his influences mainly came from like, at the time, monster movies were becoming more popular. Like King Kong, the re-release of King Kong at the time anyway, like was a pretty big success. And there was another notable movie that did pretty well as well. And he used that as well as there's a certain like incident, I have it written down somewhere. It's basically, as I said, there was like a lot of nuclear or hydrogen bomb testing in the Pacific. And so one of the US's testing bombs, pretty much the nuclear fallout from that test, affected like a local Japanese fishing boat at the time. And it caused like a huge, like a public sort of uprising and just like upsetness against the US and like condemning like, you know, nuclear testing and all that things.
Yeah.
And pretty much like the crew on that boat was like directly affected with like radioactive poisoning. Somebody died. It was like a really big deal at the time. So kind of using both those things as a inspiration to do this. And so he got back to Japan and sort of made a treatment for the whole thing and got approved from the studio to make it. And eventually it became called Project G originally. Mm-hmm. And G stood for giant at the time.
Godzilla.
But that's where like the beginning boat scene. It's like that scene is a direct reference to that incident.
Does Godzilla mean anything in Japanese?
It is. It's a cross of two words. Gorira, which means gorilla.
Yeah.
And Kujira, which means whale.
So it's a whale ape?
Whale ape.
Whale gorilla.
I think there's like a few rumors as to like the conceive of the name Gojira, but a lot of it's like, well, a lot of people at the studio were like tall tales and like made shit up essentially. Mm-hmm. But in reality, I think it was mainly between like the director, the producer, like the core team were just really kind of like thought it out. Cause the original idea was the monster was supposed to be an octopus.
Oh.
Yeah. And I think there was just like a lot of different revisions on the screenplay and on the concept itself. And then they ultimately, I think the title, the name for Gojira came first. And I think, because they, I think they knew that they wanted to do something ocean-based, right? Obviously, because of, like, the fishing stuff. But then when they went to the special effects supervisor and they were sort of planning things, instead of doing something that was, like, more ocean-based or, like, animal-based, they decided to do something that was more of, like, a dinosaur, essentially.
Yeah, tentacles are hard to animate.
Yeah, could you say that. Could you imagine? So then they landed on, like, the more dinosaur-based concept.
Mm.
I think that was, like, more after Gojira. That's probably why they don't mix, like, well. But
yeah.
But they stuck with Gojira, and it just kind of – it was a good name, so they kind of stuck with it.
Yeah.
But what was actually interesting was I found out Gojira and Godzilla were both created by Japan. By Toho. So, because, like, Godzilla is just, like, the American way of saying Gojira. But when Gojira, when it ran in Japan, when it was released, they actually made a localized English version, and they called it Godzilla as, like, their translation of Gojira. So it's not the other way around, because I think you would think that, like, the Americans claimed, like, that we just called it Godzilla instead of Gojira, but it's actually owned by Japan, both Gojira and Godzilla. Mm. And then, like, in 1956, once the U.S. got the rights to Gojira, they heavily recut and heavily, like, basically redid the movie as Godzilla, King of Monsters.
Mm.
But yeah, the name Godzilla is actually coined by Japan.
Wait, they recut the 54 movie?
Yeah. So it wasn't a direct sequel or anything. It's just a heavily recut, heavily reshot, Americanized version of the same movie. Yeah. Because they cut out, like, you know, like, it's pretty anti-US, pretty, you know, yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to make this.
I like this movie, but I don't like, I don't like this part of the movie.
Yeah. Does away with, like, 80% of the movie. Yeah. You know what I think it needs? White people. Okay. Just a little bit of facts there. I think when the movie came out, it actually didn't do too critically wise. Godzilla wasn't heavily renowned at the time. People are like, this is kind of silly.
Yeah,
but also at the time, like, sci-fi movies weren't respected
right
at all. So
it doesn't seem like a movie that would do well during that time. Sure. Say that. You know what I mean?
I think in box office, it did pretty well. And I think, like, you know, it did its job, and, like, oh my God, big shocker. Mm. Like, oh my God, monster. Ah.
Right.
But, like, to the critics, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's not the kind of movie I feel like they would.
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh, this is a great movie.
Not when Seven Samurai was being made in the same year, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, actually, funny enough, Kurosawa, because they were made in the same time, would frequently visit the Godzilla set.
Yeah, I mean, chill out, even same actor, right? Like, Shimura is in
Oh yeah,
Seven Samurai too. So, I feel like there's a lot of actors that overlap. Probably. Actually, even in Ikiru, though, you know, the woman in the courtroom where she's like shouting like, "This is corrupt!" Like, you gotta remember that woman wearing all white.
I know what you're talking about. I don't, like, remember.
Yeah, like, she's, yeah, like, also in Ikiru. Like, she's one of the women who... She always comes out as one of the, like, the women who, like, goes against, like, the corrupt stuff. Like, in Ikiru, she's one of the women who complain about the sewage thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, it's the cesspool. yeah, it's kind of cool to see, like, all these recurring actors coming in all these different movies, you know,
short staff, man, you know,
coming out in all these different movies.
That once you're an iconic person, like, you're in everything, literally everything, you know. But then they still manage to have like 600 like extras to pull. So can you imagine being Shimura and be like, I gotta be the scientist for a giant monster movie, and then, like, all right, 2 hours, I got the next shoot. I got to put on my samurai gear in the next lot.
Yep.
And then shave my head. Like, damn.
Yeah.
But overall, I think, like, my opinions, I was, like, pleasantly surprised with this original Godzilla. I just didn't expect it to, like, be as in-depth as it was, or, like...
Yeah, I expected it to be very childish.
Yeah, like, I expected a lot more campiness from this movie.
Yeah, like, you know.
But the... and, like, I mean, like, it's only campy because of, like, the limitations of its time.
Mm.
You know, but as, like, its presentation, it's surprisingly really good and, like, really serious.
Yeah, even, yeah. Let's just leave it at that.
You keep your opinion. You know, yeah.
Let's just leave it at that. That was a good way of ending it.
But yeah, so next week we will directly compare to the 2016 Shin Godzilla, which means New Godzilla, directed by Hideki Anno.
Let's see how new it is.
Dun, dun, dun. I'm excited to see what you think. I need somebody on my team.
Since you think it's a good movie.
You know, I need somebody on my team.
We always default to the other side.
Rip, there's a line in the sand. There's a line in the sand. No, but it should be pretty interesting. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm excited mainly to be like, see the differences you come up with and the comparisons that I draw with as well. So, yeah, I mean, what did you guys think as well of this original one? And if you've seen Shin Godzilla, you know, what are you kind of looking forward to? Or if you haven't, what are you looking forward to? So... But other than that, we will see you guys next week. Come take a look at our Patreon page if you want to check out Shin Godzilla early, as well as some other goodies. But other than that, we will see you guys next week for the other Godzilla. Peace.
Peace.